The Muskie 360 Podcast is brought to you by Yeti, built for the wild, Evinrude E-Tech Outboards, Joe Bucher Outdoors, the number one name in Big Fish products, and The Muskie Shop.
All right, folks, welcome to The Muskie 360 Podcast. I've got the co-host with the most on the line. It is the dude.
The master of the universe,
Chaz Martin, bro.
I don't know if I'd say that, you know, but great to be back as always. Steven, how are you, man?
Man, I'm doing great, dude. I'm doing great. Me and you, and I'm going to say this to the podcast listeners. This is a labor of love because me and Chaz have been texting all day long. Chaz, you have been on the boat all day long with Joe Bucher filming walleye, right? Like season,
yeah,
like early
yeah.
Walleye?
I mean, just a quick rundown. I mean, you know, it was really awesome. Joe and I kind of started off our filming debut for 2020, and first day on the water filming for us, and we clocked some tanker walleyes casting. So we got some great content coming. And some really interesting educational stuff. But yeah, like you said, like I've been on the water, like, you know, all day today, and you've been on the water, and I'm texting you, and we're trying to coordinate times, and it's like, you know, it's tough.
Man, we love doing this, though. It is.
I know.
We live for it. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, this Muskie 360 podcast, I can see the numbers on this. You guys are awesome. Clap, 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 clap.
Dude, we love you guys. I know our community of Muskie 360 is amazing. Okay. We have the best support crew in the world. It's awesome, and
if you guys think, like, you can find my phone number on my website. If you want to call me and be like, hey, are you really mean it? We love you guys. It's so cool. I had the biggest laugh, me and Chaz, this week about Bob Klinesworth. Okay, so I did the fun little game about the trivia, Muskie trivia, right? And we're going to do another giveaway this week.
Yeah.
So did that, and I asked a question out of Tyler Andrews, the Muskie Guru's physics book. Dude, one of our listeners is a college-level freaking physics professor.
The guy that chimes in. Not even college. I mean, he is a college professor.
Right.
The guy's like knows his
doctorate
his stuff.
In physics. Yeah. he's a real dumb guy. Is what we're getting at. Yeah. He has no clue what he's talking about. He's like, listen, you guys better watch it if you're trying to drop some physics questions on the podcast because I'll win your boat. So shout out to you, Bob. That cracked us up, dude.
That is hilarious.
Chaz, like, you know, like in seconds, I texted that to you. And we were like, crap.
I'm like, that's epic.
Oh, it was so funny.
We're dropping some physics notes around here.
But man, how was your day, though? It was a good day. You said you guys cracked some fish.
It was so much fun just getting back in the saddle with Joe, rigging up the cameras and getting out there and doing our thing, you know. And it's always like Joe and I really mostly obviously catching up on COVID and you name it from what's been going on in our lives over the last couple of months, but also just the enjoyment of trying to break down a lake and getting on some of these lakes that we know well. But the beauty of this thing, as you know, and all of our listeners know, is that you're on a lake that you know well, but it's always a different story every single day, every single year.
Absolutely.
And trying to figure out, you know, what the, you know, what that story is and what's going on in the lake at a certain time is just fascinating. So we really spent a lot of time today scouting, checking different spots, taking notes, you know, you name it. We're looking at the electronics. We found some fish, and we put a pattern together. So that's how my day. How about you, man? I heard something kind of crazy on your end.
Oh, my God, dude. All right, dude. Okay, listeners.
Yeah, let it on.
I don't have time. I didn't have time to call Chaz before the podcast. I'm just going to bear with me. I'm going to tell you live here on the air what happened. So, I've got two dudes from Illinois on the. I'm sorry. Oh my God. Okay, I'm trying to hold it together. So,
no, I mean, no offense to the guy, Schmiller. I mean, come on, man. I mean,
I'm working on it.
You got to see. Well, okay, time out.
I'm sorry.
You feel sorry for guys from Illinois because we've had the worst quarterbacks for about the last 20 years.
So,
I mean, we had
Mitch Trubisky sucks.
We've had the
just horrible.
Come on.
Bears fans, I'm pulling for you. But anyway, so we got two guys from Illinois in the boat. And we go out, and today is like the worst forecast you could ever imagine, right? And it's just like crummy. We're talking hail, storms, wind, all this kind of stuff. And they're sort of down in the dumps and everything, and we're trying our best. And I just tell them, I said, guys, listen, you know, you've just got to just trust me. I said, Chaz, you know what I'm saying. It's like, as a guide, you're confident. I mean, in the back of your head, you're sometimes going, man, am I going to be able to pull this one out of my ass? But you're trying your best, right?
Well, yeah, but you're confident that you are doing, you're putting your clients on fish.
Right.
You're giving them the best opportunity you can get them.
Right. So this dude's biggest fish ever is a 32, right? His friend's his best fish ever is like a 38, whatever. It doesn't matter. But, you know, they want a big fish. I'm trying to get him a big fish. So we go out and we're just busting ass. We're out on this place. So we actually make a move. We move from one body of water to another. And we get on it. And about an hour in, I'm throwing the willow buck. Both of them are in shallow raters. They're not like, you know, they're trying their best. They're sort of like all the stuff that they're doing, all the stuff we're talking about in the podcast. I'm coaching there on the boat. And we're trying our best. And so I give him a couple cracks at this spot, and I said, all right, guys. I said, let me make a pass through it. And I said, if I get this fish that I think's on this, I'm going to hand you the rod. So I pull out the new Joe Booker willow buck. I have a bunch of the old ones. I like them all. I don't think there's a big difference between the old and new as far as tuning or whatever. You got to tune the old ones up, but whatever. It's regardless.
Yeah.
I go through this thing, and I make my cast, and I go crank, 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 speed up. Crank, 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 speed up. Third speed up. Crank, 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 speed up. Ooh. Stick it, and I feel the head shake. And you know the womph. Like the... Ooh,
yeah, when ooh, it's a big ooh. Fish.
And I go, ooh, ooh. And I look at the guy, and I said, are you ready? And I'm not picking up any line, right? And I'm turning my body with this thing. I said, you ready? Come get it. Come get it. Come get it. And this is the boring part of the story. And so we come up, and I knew it's a good one. And anyway... He's reeling in, and I went, that's a 50. And so we get a 50-incher in the net, right? Great day. They're freaking out.
Correct.
We're happy. On my willow bucks, I put an extra hook on the front. I put a 4 out on the front. So it's got a 7 in the back, 4 in the front. And so the 4's in his mouth, the 7's in the net. And I've got this 50-inch muskie in the net. Great day. And I look at them, and they're
It sounds normal so
right,
far.
Normal. We're getting there. Follow me here. You know, who cares? Like, Steve caught a big fish. Whoop-dee-dee-doo-doo. But anyway, they're all like, hey. And I said, guys, I said, let me get this hook out of this fish real quick. Now, mind you, it's blowing 20, 25-mile-hour wind here. And it's cooking with gas. So I say, listen, I'm not going to spot lock us. I said, just hold on for a second. Let me get this out of the net. And I'm talking like you do with your clients, like any good guy does. Here's what we're about to do. I'm setting them up, right? Let me take a drink of Pepsi. Hold on, folks. So this is when it gets juicy. Are you ready for this? So I'm bent over in the net. I've got my, those funky little pliers Joe makes, those right angle pliers. I'm trying to get this fish out.
The old JBOs.
Love them. And I'm bent over, and I'm not paying attention to anything else. In the back of the boat, and I tell everybody, like, get away from me in the net every time. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just get away from me. Give me some space in case he starts thrashing that. You know what I'm talking about, Chaz. Like, let's just don't hover over me. I want to be able to jerk back if he does.
Well, give me my space to work.
Me my space to work. Just normal. And, folks, I'm sorry on the podcast. I just have to tell Chaz this. I'm just venting. So I'm doing that, and I'm bent over. Right?
Well, I'm anticipating something interesting here.
Just wait.
It's coming.
So I'm bent over. Then out of nowhere I hear right.
Yeah.
The wind picks up. And this dude, I turn my head. I turn my head. And this guy has tripped over his own feet in the wind and bear hugs his friend, and they do a cartwheel out of the back of the boat into 25 feet of water.
Wait, what?
Both of them go overboard. He tripped.
Wait, you're unhooking the muskie.
I'm in the front of the boat unhooking the muskie, and the other guy trips over his own feet and bear hugs his friend, and they go over the back of my boat into 25 feet of water.
That's better than the guy falling off the elliptical.
Oh, my God. Dude, I've got the muskie. I've got a 50-inch muskie in the net in my right hand, and I've got two grown men overboard. I've never had a man overboard in my life.
Wait, dude, that's hilarious.
And they both, I'm sorry. I can see it in my head. So they both fall out of the boat. The guy trips and he grabs his friend and he bear hugs him and they do a flip out of the front of the boat.
That is freaking hilarious.
And the guy, he lands on top of his friend and they just sink like stones. So as a guide, My first thing, the number one thing you got to deal with is safety, right? And you're worried about these people. So the first thing I do, I've got this fish in one hand and I stick my left arm out to say, grab my arm. I said, grab my arm. So I've got a 50-inch muskie in the net in my right hand. I've got two grown men holding to my left arm.
Oh, my God.
And we're drifting down a river. And I'm sitting here. It's like cold water. It's like in the 50s, right? So my knees are torn up. And what I do, Chaz, this is no joke, people. I'm telling you, I'm dying here. I scoot on my knees from the front of the boat all the way to the back, right? And I get over to the controls, and they stand on the engine, and I roll them into the boat. Like if you can imagine what a baby calf looks like when it comes out of a cow, it's like laying on its side. I get these two old fat guys to stand on my motor, and I push the trim button and just sort of lift them into the boat with the engine and dump them in.
That's funny.
The one guy
has... The reality of it is most people can't do a pull-up to save their life.
I know, and they're freaked out.
And then when you're wet...
And it's cold.
I mean, you got to just scoop them in.
Chaz, I'm dying here because, dude, the one guy lost his pants. Like, his pants are falling down. So this guy's pants are around his ankle. You know?
This sounds like the most ridiculous.
I swear to God, dude. And so the one guy's pants are falling down. They lost their phones and wallets and the whole bit. So here it is, like, they've never caught a big muskie in their life, and literally, I'm sitting here holding the biggest muskie they've ever seen in one hand, and on the other hand, they've lost all their personal belongings, hats, cell phones, glasses. The one guy lost his wallet. The other guy lost his cell phone, and I'm sitting here with a guy with his pants falling down, and he's soaking wet. I'm sorry, he's looking at me. I'm dying here. He's looking at me on his lips. Do you want a picture with this or not? I don't know what's appropriate because they've just had like this near-death experience.
Dude, that is hilarious.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Folks, I'm sorry. I didn't get a chance to tell Chaz beforehand. That's why I'm laughing.
Dude. I mean, I'm like, what's coming next? What's coming next? I have no idea.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Because literally, like, there was no reason to fall off the boat. We weren't in chop. I mean, there's like this breeze came by, and he was just like walking to the front of the boat and trips over his own feet. And like, when I heard him go, "Wah!" it was like watching Refrigerator Perry tackle somebody, dude.
Wait, dude, that is nuts, man.
It is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I told them I'm going to tell the story on the podcast. They listened to the podcast. I said, "Listen, I mocked them mercilessly the rest of the day. I'm sorry."
I would have. Yeah, that's hilarious.
I mean, if I have to, listen, I draw the line at, like, as a guide, you have to be professional. I draw the line. If I have to lift you into my boat with the trim on my motor and your pants are falling down, I can mock you. So, literally, my day went from hooking a 50-inch muskie and handing it off to geriatric Fruit of the Loom tidy whities.
That is funny, man. I can't wait to hear what see what the thumbnail is going to be for this one, man.
It ain't going to be that, bro, because that is just like, that is something that no one needs to see. I'm so sorry, podcast listeners. I hope you enjoyed that.
I will go on a tangent here, and you know, this is 14 years ago, man. The first year I ever guided, And the only reason I'm bringing this up is the only is a long time ago for me, and the only time I've ever had a client fall off my boat. And this was, I mean, I'm young. I'm a kid. And I started, it's the first year I'm ever guiding. And I had done a couple guide jobs, and, you know, things were going well. But I knew what I was getting myself into. I was used to it and everything. But I had these young guys come down from West Virginia, and they're staying in the Upper Peninsula. They somehow got a hold of me, and we went out fishing. I brought them to, you know, a real remote lake. And I said, guys, you know, there's no dock or anything. I launched the boat by myself, and I said, guys, use the restroom in the woods if you need to real quick. I am going to retie a couple knots, do about 10 minutes. We're ready to rock. And these guys, I'm doing my thing. I put the boat in the water, tie my knots, and they come back down. And within 30 minutes of fishing, they're laughing at seagulls and birds. And these guys are like on another planet.
West Virginia represent in the house.
Although I didn't know what to do. And the one guy just passed out. He was on the floor of the boat. And, you know, looking back,
Meth
I would have
Virginia.
Just brought him in right away.
You bring them in now, but yeah.
I mean, nowadays, I know better, but a long time ago, I was young, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to try to make the best of this one. We actually caught a muskie on the trip, mm-hmm. and anyway, this one guy was messed up, but he could still fish, and I was washing like a hawk. I got him all the way up on the
Chaz,
top, and I'm all
cut,
the way
not
the
to cut you off real quick. That's actually my autobiography's name. Messed up, but he can still fish. But anyway, continue.
But the guy wakes up. The guy wakes up for, you know, he's been asleep on the, the floor of the boat for like 4 hours. And I'm like, hey, John, how you doing, man? And, you know, of course he wakes up and he's like, hey, I'm doing fine. I just got to go to the bathroom. Stands in the bow, just completely falls overboard. And this is like this is a half day in the afternoon. We started at 4 p.m. This is like 9, and we're done. Right. And he wakes up at night. We already caught a muskie. He had no idea we even caught a muskie. I actually remember the guy that caught the muskie was Chris. His photo is actually still on my website somewhere.
Right.
And he just stands up, and I just remember, like, seeing him go down, and I'm like, this guy's this is not good. He's like messed up, man.
Oh yeah.
And I just remember pulling him in, and then they like tried calling me the next day, and I'm like, no, I'm not taking you guys out. Sorry. And they called me the next year, and I said, no, I'm not taking you guys out. I'm sorry.
But we've got to get to user questions. I'm sorry, folks. Literally,
I know I was about to go into another story, but let's,
dude, you're
we'll
literally
start
like people are literally listening to me. You catching up from today on? I had two men overboard. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. First question up is from Blaine. Blaine says, hey, guys, this is the first podcast I can actually stand listening to. Blaine, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Oh, jeez. Thanks.
He said, when I'm trying to go fishing for muskie, what weather conditions are ideal? I hear people say that different regions, you know, have different weather patterns that are better. What's the best? What do you guys think in general? What's the best conditions?
Generally speaking, I look to a variety of things. So I'll try to break it down in a simple way. Look to the wind. When I wake up in the morning.
That sounds like something I would read on like a T-shirt with an Indian on it, Chaz. look to the wind.
In the morning, I'm always checking the wind, man. Is very indicative of, you know, a bite in some sense. So when I have a southeast, a southwest, a westerly wind, you know, anything westerly, south to southern wind is generally good. So I'll say that to start off. I'll try to be concise here.
Yeah. We got a ton of questions. Yeah.
When you're prefrontal. Day or two, I say 2 days ahead of a front or something major coming in, and you can see, let's say Friday is predicted 90% chance of precipitation all day long, thunderstorms Friday. I mean, generally speaking, my Wednesday, Thursday, and leading into Friday are like, you're going to kick some ass. Yeah. And that's an exciting thing. So it's the prefrontal thing.
That's the best.
I would say, when your humidity starts spiking, and don't be late to the dance.
No.
Because, and then I was, so yeah, I'll just take it, I'll leave it at that.
No, man, if he's asking for what is best, hands down, the black clouds are rolling in and all hell's about to break loose, that's game on to me.
But I do want to say one thing, though, too, is that that is game on, but we have all been in this scenario where you go out kind of almost too late, where you're out there in like the hour before the lightning just starts cracking and nothing moves. And you're like, okay, they already ate. And it's like, I've seen that so many times. And it's like, you have to be there ahead of time. So if you know something's coming and you can somehow plan your schedule with work or, obviously family, if you're vacationing, make sure that you fish in advance of these things, because if you're like, try to plan it like the hour before, first of all, it's going to be dangerous. And second of all, you may have missed your window. So that's all I got.
If you're asking for best, Blaine, prefrontal period, I always say that, sort of my old adage was, it looks like you could touch the clouds with your rod.
Ooh, I like that.
You know what I'm talking? You've seen that sky a billion times. Those are the best I've ever seen. But we got so many. And, guys, like I said, last week we didn't do questions, so we're going to keep rolling. Cole's got this. He says, I have a few questions about reel maintenance. Which reel oil should I be using on my reels? Is there a specific brand or type? Another thing I'm unsure about is grease. Should I be applying grease to my reels? And lastly, how often should I do this? I'm going to jump in. Dude, I like do all my own reel stuff. Do you use mats or do you do your stuff yourself, Jess?
So I do most of my stuff myself. I'll let you got to jump in on this, but I say I'll jump in after, but I go on kind of like a two season thing where I'll work on my own reels for about two seasons. And then afterward, like when I feel like they just kind of need it, I send it to a professional that I know.
Yeah, I mean,
so I kind of try to maintenance myself.
Here's my deal. I do everything myself. I fish unabashedly. So I fish left-handed. So since 1985, when I got my first muskie reel, Abu Garcia 6501s have been the most available left-handed reel. That's why I fish round reels like grandpa. But anyway, the deal is, I've seen this, and I've had Lexus, I've had all the other fancy stuff, but here's my deal with reel maintenance. There's a ton of videos about reel maintenance. Do this, do that. The less you do, the better is what I think, because like, even with like my Lexus and stuff, when I go in there and I start tinkering around and I start greasing things and oiling, it's unnecessary. Like, if you're not, as a guide, right? My reels, I break them down once a year. Once a year.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, most people,
I mean, I apply I do the bare minimum. I have like some basic tools and cleaning supplies, and so each year I apply, grease, but in really small amounts. And you're saying, like, you're not overdoing this thing.
Yeah,
you've got to be very careful, because you can over grease things really quickly and think that you're helping the problem, and you're going to hurt
yourself.
You're
screwing it up. Yeah. I mean, less is more when it comes to reel maintenance, in my opinion, unless there's a problem, right? Which at some point.
I mean, let's make a really obvious analogy. The analogy would be putting oil in your engine, but then putting oil all over the inside of your engine. Like, so you fill the oil.
That's what I do.
Everywhere.
I just dump it.
That would be a problem.
I dump it in the entire engine bay. I didn't know you weren't supposed to do that.
Right? And then something's going to go wrong, man.
Why is everything on fire? Speaking of, I had a battery fire this week on the boat, Chaz. I didn't get to tell you that.
That's scary.
Oh, my God.
Well, thankfully, messed with that or effed with that once by accident when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been, that got me to the core, and I'm religious about it. Certain things with batteries.
Second one I've ever seen. There's an island on Eagle, which me and you, bro, we're going to fish at some point in our lives together. I promise you we're going there. But we caught Fire Island because Dad's Ranger caught on fire back in the early 90s. But anyway, I was like, the client, he said, hey, man. The guy goes, hey, dude, like, there's smoke coming out the back of your boat. And I turn around, there's like smoke coming out of the rear starting battery hatch. And I was like, no. And it was just like total karma because
we just talked
to Brian there at Premier Power Sports, and it was just this battery went bad. I'm sorry. I'm on a tangent. I haven't talked to my good friend Chaz in a few days, so I got to tell Chaz. Yeah. I've got to tell Chaz everything that's happened in my life since the last podcast. But anyway, it's like one of those maintenance things. Sorry, big tangent there. As far as Cole, like with your reels, here's the deal. Unless you're fishing to the extent like I'm doing, probably I spend 200 days on the water on average every year, and my reels need very little maintenance. You're not going to get more out of your reels by over maintaining them. Like Chaz said, you're going to slow them down. You put the wrong grease in there, too much grease, you're going to slow them down. The biggest thing I can tell you as far as what I would pay attention to, and one thing that I do regularly, is I clean the worm gear. Chaz, you know, everybody understand what the worm gear is?
Yes, I clean that and I put a little oil in it. Yes.
Clean that like religiously, like get you a little brush. It doesn't have to be a wire brush, but like a hard bristle brush or a toothbrush, and get the gunk out of that.
Yep.
That'll keep you going.
Because you get a lot of buildup of crap in there all the time.
Crap, weeds and gunk. Clean that out. Other than that, leave it up.
And it builds up.
Yeah, leave it alone. As far as a specific brand of oil and grease, I don't care about grease is grease. I actually use 3-in-1. I use the cheap stuff from Walmart. I don't think you're going to buy some magic oil that costs $7. It's going to make you cast 10 feet further. Keep it to a minimum.
I'll just say, absolutely. I mean, I got an old wife at this. My uncle gave me this. Thanks, Uncle John, for Christmas, gazillion years ago. I have like some like, I don't know, Abu Garcia came out with some professional real cleaning setup or tool kit. And I use it on all my, Lexas or you name it. Like, it doesn't matter. I use that for all my reels. So.
And if you don't know what's going on inside that reel, don't get crazy with it. And one thing I'll say is this, man, I'm sorry for the millionth tangent here, but I don't care if you're throwing a Tranx, Lexa, whatever. Get the schematic and learn it, because clients will laugh on my boat. I say, this is my rifle, this is my gun, right? You know, the thing from Full Metal Jacket, because people have watched for me. If something breaks in my reel, like in 7 minutes, I can repair that thing. Like, I can switch
the... that goes for, like, everything.
Yeah.
Like,
know your gear.
Or generally speaking, like, being a jack of all trades is really important. Like, knowing how to fix problems.
It's sort of like that Canada thing. Is what I always think about. Like,
because you're on your own.
Like,
sure.
you better know, like, how to fix everything. I was telling the guru about that the other day. He was like, guru got a new boat, and he was asking about his engine. I said, bro, he was like, well, who do I need to take it to? I said, dude, you need to learn how to change your own oil, how to change your lower unit oil, how to maintain all your stuff. But I just mentioned the name of the guru. Chaz, is it time for? Do you think it could be?
No, I mean, we got to hold on just a little bit. Come on.
Okay, we got to hold out a little bit.
Just to keep the folks on their toes here.
You're edging me on the guru. So anyway, the next question.
I know, but it's going to be so good.
The next one up is from Rhett. Rhett says, tiger muskies are getting a little bit more active in Utah. Props to you, Rhett. I have fished the West Coast and the Western area. Me and Chaz will be out there before too long. Chaz doesn't know that, but we're going to do it. And he says, I've had a handful of follows this weekend, but didn't boat a single fish. Every muskie followed our lures all the way to the boat and bolted. Any tips or actions we can talk about to make them strike? Okay, I'll put it on the app. This is before Muskie 360 existed. I actually went to Washington State and Oregon and guided there and spent some time fishing for like tigers, stock tigers. And we need to like really that scene's blowing up. There's a lot of cool stuff going on there. The lesson I learned with these tigers is tigers don't like the figure eight that much. I don't care if it's a stock tiger or whatever. Mid cast triggers. The biggest thing I can tell you, and what I had to do, I had 7 days to figure this thing out. I went 2 days with no fish. And then every day after that, we boated 6 or 7 fish above 40 inches. Okay, we were kicking the butthole out of those things, but what it takes is this: is like me and Chaz. You'll hear us all the time on the podcast talking about you don't need to make a bomb cast right with a ski, because the, you mm-hmm. can trigger them. What I've seen with these tiger muskies, a lot of times you need to make longer casts because you need to, instead of trying to get that fish into the figure eight, you need to do something in that mid cast that is a triggering action. Right.
Interesting, man. That's
so
cool.
You can't figure. I mean, dude, we had like one that came in and stayed in the eight. The rest of them don't like the eight, just like a northern. You know how northerns won't stay in the eight that much. And so you guys that are West Coasters, you know, Utah, Colorado, I've got a dude that I fish with that's where is he? Goodness, was it Montana, Washington State, Oregon? You guys have got stellar fisheries, but what you've got is clear water and you've got fish that don't like the figure eight. So what you've got to do is focus on phase one. Phase one being that lure hits the water, I'm doing something that's triggering. 1, 2, 3 jerks. 1, 2, 3. You know, and you've got to break your cast down, you know, and add some stuff there.
Yes. I mean, I got two things I want to throw
in. Lay it on me, baby.
First thing is this, and this now I'm going to say this with an asterisk. As a pike fisherman as well, fish northern pike. Northern pike, at least in my experience, are notorious about not eating at night.
Yeah.
But I have caught tiger muskies at night. And the first thing I was going to say is on spooky fish that don't hit in the eight, my first thought was, okay, you know, first dark. I'm not talking about night fishing all night. I'm talking about when the sun goes down, that first
hour.
The old saying is, when you can't see your top water anymore, that's first dark.
Yeah.
And that first hour of darkness might be a really cool time to go after these fish that are following. Tiger muskies, you know, they're similar to pike, but they are still muskies. And I have caught tigers at night. So that's one idea. The other idea that I've really lately been applying and with some success in northern Wisconsin, but I think would apply everywhere, is the 180 degree direction change. So if you're consistently,
mm-hmm. yes.
you know, targeting fish from one direction, you're always in these muskies that are following, they're always getting lures in the same direction, everybody freaking cast the same way. Switch it up. Either if you're on a reef, that's easy to do. If you're fishing shoreline structure, you know, suck it up, look weird and fish, you know, shallow and cast out toward deeper water. Just an idea to throw out there. Another one, obviously, you know, in addition to like as Stephen, you were saying, like, you know, mid-retrieve triggering tactics. I mean, another idea, you know, try reversing the angle of attack.
Mm-hmm.
That could be something to think of too. So
absolutely,
and that's all I got in that. But
no,
you know, that's
something
I think about all the time.
Absolutely, and you should be doing that with regular muskie, because these tigers, like a lot of guys, will like scoff their nose and be like, "Oh, they're stock tiger muskies, bro." They're not stupid, and they're not easy.
They get conditioned
like
everything else.
They do.
These monkeys get conditioned. They see shit.
And bro, like, I've not fished Utah, but I can tell you, like, what I've seen, like, in Washington and Oregon and stuff, gin clear is an understatement. So these fish are they ought to be swimming in a bottle of Dasani. You know?
Well, when I see something like that, I'm like, I want cloudy conditions. I want dark. I don't hit those clear waters in my area unless it's overcast. That's mm-hmm. scary, man.
Well, and bro, the thing that worked for me, it was the jointed depth rater, right? And it wasn't about like getting it deep. It was what I could do with that thing. And Rhett, give this a try. Take your jointed depth rater, and I'm talking like if I'm fishing timber, I'm bombing it into the timber. And I've fished redwood stumps that are 6 feet wide before. And you're going, this is weird. It's like fishing the. I told Joe it's like fishing the Ewok forest from Star Wars. Another Star Wars reference, bros. But anyway, you know, here's these giant redwood stumps. And so what I was focused on was like get that DR up there and fish it kind of shallow. But once I got that mid cast, right, let's say that thing's like 40 feet off the boat, I would stop reeling and I would start spanking the water with that slack line to get that thing to sort of like plunge up, almost dive and rise. And that's one thing that worked for us. just, you're just not going to catch many tigers boat side. So really focused on like mid cast dead sticking. If you're throwing like a shallow raider, but you're throwing say like a hellhound, like dead stick it 40 feet off the boat, like you would next to the boat.
You know, exactly. Dead sticking is underrated.
It is. It is. So just focus on that and hope that helps. We're moving on. Andrew says, anything and everything you can talk about early season versus late season speed regarding trolling. Water temps versus speed. Well, zigzag versus straight. Depth. How far back? Prop wash. Any insights will help. Andrew just asked us to do a 17-hour podcast. Let's keep it down to a couple minutes here. Trolling tips for Andrew. Let's start with early season and let's talk what the water temps are right now, which are going to be anywhere from like 40s to 50s. Trolling, what do you say, Chaz?
Well, you and I have hit this on, you know, so many different levels on numerous podcasts, mm-hmm. right? From casting to trolling, but one thing that you and I stay very consistent on is slow and cold water. And it's a very basic idea. And, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you got a full spool or a half spool. No right. jokes aside, you know. Mm-hmm. But just slow speed in cold water kills because, you know, they're lethargic. They just don't, you know, I would equate it to something that, you know, I've seen in the last week here, fishing for bass. If I'm not catching bass on lipless cranks and spinner baits, I slow it down and work a suspending minnow bait, you know, so the mm-hmm. slow thing. And then all of a sudden they'll pop out of the woodwork. Same thing applies to trolling. If you're not catching fish trolling, you know, at 3 miles an hour, and that's as fast as your boat idles, well, you better figure out how to, you better figure out how to slow your drift down, slow your boat down, work into the wind, you know, work back it, you troll. Know, you back troll, you name it, man. So that's all I got, you know, take it from there, Stephen. Cause I mean speed is so critical.
Trolling is all speed. If you're not, you can't troll in a straight line all the time, period. So he wants to know zigzag versus straight, forget straight. You've got to be moving the bait in and off structure and all this stuff.
No, that's something that the old Boop Daddy Plus taught me a long time ago. And Papa I'm thankful bless. For it, yeah. But you know, but moving that boat. And by the way, you're getting me on that idea. You know, when you're zigzagging your boat, what are you doing? You're slowing your speed down big time. You know, if you want to slow that speed down, you got to really move that boat, and that'll Chaz, slow your lures down.
Here's what we're going to do for Andrew. Here's what I think we ought to do, right? Let's do an entire podcast on trolling.
We really should.
Dude, we get
There's
so many questions.
There's a lot of folks that ask this, right?
I mean, yeah, it's like such a popular thing. Next week, probably the same day we're recording this. We were usually recorded a day before. Let's just like sit down and you come up with some notes. I'll come up with some notes, and let's just do all trolling. So we have like the trolling mastercast podcast.
That sounds cool.
Because
yeah,
I mean, it's so new to a lot of people. So let's do that. So Andrew, stay tuned in. Chaz, I can't take it anymore. I've got to itch.
Oh, yes. How are you going to scratch it?
I'm going to scratch it with some words of wisdom from the musky guru.
The guru says the best things in life smell like fish.
I'll tell you what, buddy, if that doesn't get around it. Oh, my God.
Well, you know, he's so versatile. It's like he knows so much about musky fish, but he's also the mushroom guru.
He's, oh my God. Did Joe bring that up today?
He
told me that literally yesterday. He was like, he told him he took him morel hunting or something. Then he comes back and him and Beth making mushrooms and he's like waxing eloquent. Oh my goodness. You people don't realize the guru knows all. Everything.
Dude, he's the mushroom guru.
Bro, I'm the mushroom guru on a whole other level. Okay. Let's not even go there. All right. Ready for another laugh?
I'm ready.
Brian M says, Steve, my friends and I have been saying when we're ice fishing, don't be slap dicking around on your phone during the major and minor. So I say to you and Chaz, and I'm laughing too hard to run on my elliptical again. Don't be slap dicking around on the podcast. So,
that is funny.
We know who the elliptical master is. It's you, Brian. And Brian, you gave us a ton of laughs, man.
That's amazing. I still haven't seen
there's
the
no
thumbnail
video.
Of Brian on the elliptical.
There's no thumbnail. I was joking.
Dude, I'm going to make one, okay? I'm making one. I'm sending it to you.
Listen, prepare for the worst thumbnail ever. Chaz Martin.
Dude, I am going to make the best elliptical muskie thumbnail you've ever seen. Okay,
dude.
Muskie 360 listeners, here we go. Okay, I'm going to make a good elliptical thumbnail.
I love it. Okay. Here's the deal.
But
I call it.
Yeah, you can't be screwing around in your phones during the major and minor periods.
No, Brian, we're not slap dicking. We're trying to entertain you while you run on your elliptical. Okay, we're doing our best, bro. We're doing our best. Don't pick on me. I have big feelings, Chaz Martin.
That is funny.
Brian hurt my big feelings. No, Brian, we love you. That is too funny, man. Thank you for your support. Anyway, Chaz Martin's going to make the Steve Paul Chaz Martin pillow fight musky thumbnail for the next episode.
This could be good.
Dude,
I heard
you had a lot of pillow fight musky thumbnails on your phone. What do you got? What musky memes you got on there, Broheem?
I can't even go down that rabbit hole, man.
No, nobody.
Revealed that I've got some funny memes on my phone. I can't speak about them right now.
Listen, if you want the funniest musky memes you've ever seen, book a trip with Chaz Martin. I promise he'll show you to you. If you want to find out who the musky Jabba the Hutt is.
True. I probably would show him. I got some pretty funny ones.
I'm sorry. I haven't talked to my friend Chaz in a week. We're riffing here live. Man, boys, you book a trip with us. You're going to see some musky memes that you.
Oh, we'd have a good time.
Magnifique. Anyway, moving on. Jason I. He says, I listen to the podcast all the time and have a lot of the same juvenile humor that you and the dude and the guru have. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if that's an insult or a compliment.
Hilarious.
He said, you bastards sure are funny. Some of the conversations sound like the very conversations happen on my boat. I love it. Thank you so much, Jason. He said, I wanted to call your attention to a hilariously bad movie that centers around musky fishing or a musky fishing contest. The killer casts his fishing rod with a musky bait and tears people up with it because he wants to win the musky tournament. He says, nice looking women in there too, wink, wink. Just a campy slasher movie. It's full of fun. He said, you need to check it out. It's called Blood Hook. You will laugh your ass off. Have you seen them? I've never seen them.
No.
A movie called Blood Hook. Hold on.
No.
Hold on. Let's see if I can pull this up on the YouTube. I've never heard of that. Hold on. I've had so many Pepsis, I just opened YouTube.
No, I mean, I'm thinking of the worst movie I've recently seen, and I actually remember the name of it.
Bro, I've had enough Pepsis that I just opened YouTube, right? And in the search bar of YouTube,
you're going to go for Blood Hook?
No, I just typed YouTube in the search bar of YouTube.
Oh, that's bad.
Hold on.
YouTube.
Hold on, what is this? Can you hear that, Chaz?
A little bit.
Oh, my God.
The guy, like...
Let me turn this down. There is literally... I'm going through the thumbnail, and there's this dude. Hold on. This dude is wearing... Now, this is a little suspicious. I'm going to pause this here, right? So, this dude is wearing a red T-shirt and a red hat and holding a muskie at, like, 26 minutes and 8 seconds in this movie, Blood Hook. It's from Troma. That's the people that made Toxic Avenger. Oh, my goodness. I got plans tonight. Thank you very much. I'm going to drink more Pepsis and watch Blood Hook. Literally at 26 minutes in, there's a guy holding a fish that looks like upper 40s or 50s. Let me scan through here.
What?
Blood Hook. It's on YouTube. Let me say this.
I'll check it out tonight for sure.
Chaz Martin, here's the deal, bro. Next week, trolling podcast, right? Before we start that, we're going to do a movie review of the movie Blood Hook.
It's like, kind of like book club. Let's do a movie review of Blood Hook.
Because here's this dude that's standing here that suspiciously looks like Joe Booker from Crankbait Secrets cover, wearing all red.
Oh, boy. Did Joe tell us when he was involved in, like, the movies?
Joe was in the movie Blood Hook, folks. He starred in a few trauma features. Okay. Promise me, Chaz, we can't let our listeners down. Movie review of Blood Hook next week.
Okay, let's go.
100%.
Oh, I thought you were talking about getting off on tangents. Next question.
I'm so, my God. Folks, I'm sorry. This is literally the listen to Chaz and Steve talk to each other on a phone call podcast. Anyway, this is a follow-up from Bank Fisherman Nathan. If you remember,
ooh,
Nathan's
okay.
written in a couple times. Nathan is a northern.
Yes, I do remember these questions. Yes.
He's a northern Wisconsin bank fisherman. He says, hello, yet another follow-up question. I love the info you guys are giving me on my ridiculous question. They're not ridiculous, bro. We're trying our best. And
no,
trust
not at
me.
All.
No,
I think these
no,
are,
no, they're great questions.
Bank fishing questions are challenging, and I think
they're challenging, and there's a lot, dude, a lot of anger. I write for my little local paper here in town. And like 7 people read the newspaper here, but I write for them because they asked me to write stuff in the past. And that was one of the biggest things I focused on because, like, if you're under 25 and over 65, not many people have boats. You know, I mean, a lot of people fish from the
mm-hmm.
bank, and
there ain't no
shame in that game. But anyway, I'm going to narrow this down. He says, He said, the spots that I'm able to fish on this big lake in Wisconsin, he said, I basically have to drive from truck to truck, and we've got a lot of landowners that own the shoreline. So waiting and some of the suggestions you guys have given would be a little bit tough. He said, I've looked at Google Maps, and I've looked at Navionics for the spots that I have access to via my vehicle and walking. He said, do you have any other things that I could focus on to be able to find some muskies? He said, I'm thinking about trying to find like a castable fish finder and all this stuff. So basically, what can I do? Because I have limited bank that I can work with. I just have public spots, essentially. I'm going to tell you my thought right now, Nathan. I'll tell you, bro. Get a kayak, man.
You read my mind. I was thinking, like, what can a single man either fit in the back of a pickup, you know, a bed of a pickup truck, or put on the back, top of a Jeep?
Get a
and
kayak.
And you can, like, change your life.
Yeah, forget about it, man. If you're dealing with landowners, I know people, like, you get people from the dreaded city of Chicago that own houses up there and come up there in the summers. I don't know. Do you know anybody from Chicago that has land up there, Chase? But anyway,
I might.
But that's the thing.
And,
is like,
you know, you don't want to mess with that crap.
You don't want
to
mess with it.
You just want to get out on the water and fish on public access.
Absolutely.
When you're on the water, you're legal. If you can get on there, you know, in a legal way.
I get it, man. And the thing is this, is don't ever worry about landowners, because you know what? If I've paid like $200,000 for a piece of lakefront property to have for my family or to chill on, yeah, I don't want people walking on it. My wife is a heck of a fisherwoman, and she went to Wally World. I'm sure you could go to Menards or whatever, and she bought a 12-foot kayak for like under $200 that is totally legit. And she throws it on top of her car, and she has called me so many times and go, I've embarrassingly so, like, I'll have a client on the boat, and she's called me, go, I need you to come net this muskie, because she's in a kayak. I mean, it's just like, you can catch muskie out of a kayak. Nathan, that's what I would do, bro. I was on a
little bit of a kayak run. What's today? Today's Wednesday, Tuesday, mm-hmm. Wednesday, I mean, we're still in quarantine, so I don't know what day it is. But over the weekend, I went on a little kayak trip, and like, I mean, they're like, I think they weigh like 40 pounds. I mean, they're really not that hard to throw up on the top or throw in the back of the truck. So, yeah, absolutely.
That's
going to
solve. Yeah. He's written in a bunch of times.
Solve all your problems.
And Nathan, we love your questions, but bro, that would be my thing, is get on that, because that solves everything. Fish those
banks.
And
then it's just a side thing. As far as like typing in YouTube into YouTube, if you go on YouTube and you actually type in something else other than YouTube, there's actually some really good looking. There's some really good looking girls. I don't know. I should know their names, but I don't. There's some really good looking ladies that actually have exclusive musky fishing channels get kayak. They're kayak. They're like, they're pro musky girls that only fish out of kayaks. I'm not telling you to go there just to look at the girls, but I'm telling you to go there to give yourself a little bit of a, an idea of what you might be able to do musky fishing out of a kayak. Cause there's people that do this. There's people, I'm sure they have videos all over the place. So definitely something to look into.
That's better than watching me fish out of a kayak. I'll tell you that much. But that's, man, if you're running into this much garbage and it's that much of a problem, get a kayak, bro. Throw it in the truck and just be done with it. Yeah. So next one is Corey. Oh, he says, do you prefer a high speed geared reel for trolling? He said, I'm looking at a 5:1:1 and was wondering if that's appropriate. I'm just going to run with this real quick. I don't care what the gear ratio is for a trolling reel. Doesn't matter. Do you care, Chas?
Nope, it doesn't matter. The only thing that I would care about would be maybe, and you don't even need this, because I've trolled really successfully. I'm sure you have, Stephen, without any line counters. You don't need line counters.
Don't need them.
But that's the one thing I might look at outside of, I've never really care about the gear ratio. Line counter
doesn't matter. What I'll tell you, man, my trolling reels are the reels that are starting to get bad for casting. It's like when reels start getting junky, I'm like, it's trolling reel, bring it on, dude. Hey Chaz, I'll tell you one thing I've done and share it with everybody. For me and you have run similarly sized boats. Me and Chaz don't have like monster like sea rigs.
No,
we don't. And so,
dude, just one side note, by the way, I snuck in to like a lake that I had never been on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And my 680 tiller drafted in like it had to have been with one guy in there with me and my buddy Mike with me, full tank of gas, gear. Like, it had to be 8 inches of water.
Bro,
I couldn't believe it. I thought, I was literally ready to get out. I'm like, you know, the water's like 46 degrees. I'm like, okay, like I'm going for it and I'm probably going to have to get in the water, and we made it. I'm like, holy smoke.
A lot of people ask like the size of my, that's another thing. I would, little tangent here. Everybody's like, why don't I run like a 20 foot or something like that? I run a 17 wide. And it's because of draft, because I fish all the time.
Because I can do all crap like that.
I fish I fish like in inches all the time. But anyway, so he's wondering about the trolling reels. We're talking about boat draft and we're talking trolling reels. This is why this is love. But anyway, one thing I was going to say, I told the guru this week because he was asking about trolling reels. He called me. I actually bought, and it's Raleigh and Helen sells them. They're these little clip-on line counters. So you can clip your rod, and you can turn any rod into a trolling reel. So check those out at muskyshop.com.
So cool.
So I used that's why I bought up rod or boat size, because of storage. You know what I'm saying? You can't fit 25 rods in there. But anyway, so that's one thing. He also asked, he says, hey, Stephen, Chaz, I was also wondering about water temp during the summer. When do you fish the littoral zone, or when do you, or littoral zones to deep open water? When do you make those transitions? He also wants to know where I can send boxes of Mountain Dew and hot Cheetos as snacks for Stephen's guide clients. He's referring to the barfer. Folks, the guy that came out in summer heat eating hot Cheetos and drinking Mountain Dew and threw up in my boat, as cute as that was.
Oh,
my gosh. I don't need any. Thank you very much, Corey. I don't need any hot Cheetos or Mountain Dew. I appreciate it. That's
funny,
dude. Yeah. That's like if you get sick on, say, like Jägermeister and you can never smell it again, right? Like, I got sick on this, or I got sick on like something as redneck as like Goldschlager. And if you see what if I smell hot Cheetos and Mountain Dew again, I'm gonna get sick immediately. So I'd prefer not to have that. So as far as your question about reels, I don't care what the speed is for a trolling reel. And as far as like wondering what the temperatures during the summer, if we're fishing littoral zones or going to the open water, I think during summer, I don't think it's a water temperature thing. I think it's a patterning thing based upon weather conditions.
Yep. I also think bait fish location. If I ain't marking them, and if I don't think those fish are there, I ain't fishing it. Like, you know, instinctively is one thing, and also believing in the beauty of electronics and actually, you know, it's like side imaging tells me, I'm blown away. Like even fishing with Joe today, was really cool. Just a side note example of, we're fishing a flat and we're talking about, yeah, we know these fish got to be there. And I go, Joe, look at that. There's three bass sitting there, and they're, you know, toward where we're casting, but they're not reacting. They're cold. They're, you know, this and that. Or, and mm-hmm. Joe goes, yeah, those fish won't budge unless you have like a, you know, a just live bait or a right. you know, finesse and this. And, you know, we're trying to film a crankbait show. We're power fishing, and
right.
your electronics, you know, it's like, anyway, I can go on a long tangent. I'm done.
All right, we got five more, but, Chaz. We're finishing them all.
All right, let's do it. Let's
so
do
we
it.
Can get caught up. This one's for you. Craig wants to know. I'm
for
looking,
me?
This is you're the St. Croix guy.
Okay, all right.
Mr. St. Croix. Craig says, looking to buy one of St. Croix's downsizer rods to throw smaller twitch baits, crankbaits, and small bucktails.
Oh, God. I know the answer already.
Which length is preferred? Mr. St. Croix, okay. What do you say?
Well, and so I'm gonna plug this, and I haven't announced this yet. Actually, I haven't even promoted this yet. But I am doing so this is for Craig and anybody on the Muskie 360 community. I'm really fired up about this. May 18th. Sorry, Steven, if you don't mind me plugging this, but I haven't even announced this.
Bring it
on. Still in the works. I'm still talking to St. Croix about this actually tomorrow morning again, which I'm excited about. May 18th, I believe the time's going to be 7 p.m., is going to be a webinar, online live webinar with me. It's going to involve Q&A time, too, which is really cool. Live Q&A, live webinar by me on opening season muskie tactics and
Absolutely.
The rod that I'm throwing with St. Croix. So it's going to be all
it.
Like opening season St. Croix stuff. But, okay, getting back to the question, because we're talking St. Croix rods.
Yep.
The LMD Legend Muskie Downsizer series is absolutely fantastic. Got at least there's three rods in that series. The one that I would highly recommend that is, like, my buddy Mikey asked me over the weekend, like, top three rods.
Right.
The number two rod, like, if I could only fish three rods, two of them were muskie rods and one of them was a bass
number
rod.
Number two
so if I only
rod.
Had three
yep.
Well, yeah. Well, if I only had three St. Croix rods to pick for life, and that's what he asked me. He said, what mm-hmm. are your three St. Croix rods to pick for life? And I said, well, okay, wow, that's, I mean, I can answer that question pretty quickly. 9-foot Legend, medium, heavy, fast. That's like number one. I use that mm-hmm. like a discipline. But the number two rod out of the three is the Legend Muskie Downsizer. It's a 710 medium power fast. That rod is like the numero uno for nail bait fishing, for jerk bait fishing, for swim jig fishing, for you know, lipless crank bait fishing. And if you want to get, if you want to try to throw 500s with it, and top raiders with it, and what you can throw your mid-size stuff if you wanted to, like, eke it out a little bit. But it's really designed for minnow fishing. So,
absolutely.
Okay, I'm done.
Hey, man, do this, because I'm not going to edit this out, so I'm going to tell you live. Tell Rich that we want to put that on the podcast when you're done with it, once it's not live.
Wait, say that again?
Tell Rich at St. Croix that
yeah.
when you're done with that, we'll run it on the podcast. Or
running
okay, on the
yeah.
app. He blocked my number. I kept begging for free stuff. He won't answer my calls. Now, that'd be
funny,
awesome.
Man.
Like, if you're doing that webinar, tell him to get in touch with me, or you get in touch with me, and we'll run it. You
know,
yeah, we'll
yeah.
run
well,
that.
Well, you know what I did is, I've been in touch with St. Croix, and they're asking me about, like, different, you know, what's the best source for articles and this and that information on early season muskie fishing. And I sent the link over for Muskie 360, and I just sent, and I don't think it's up yet. I know you've been using this class,
it'll be
but
up
you've been
tomorrow,
busy,
yeah.
And I've been busy. You know, you have an article on double downsizing.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler has an article. Joe has classically, you know, he always yep. has articles on early season muskie fishing. I just wrote one. Everybody's got articles coming.
Yep.
I know there's a bunch of them. So
yeah. new stuff from Joe coming out. By the time you're listening to this podcast, that article will be up, the new Chaz article and a new Joe article. And we got some other stuff.
Yeah, Joe's got articles. We got all kinds of stuff coming out. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's great. Yeah, tell him we want to put that up on this, and we'll go
from
there.
When I told St. Croix, I sent the link to Muskie360.com. I said, hey, man, we got all the stuff going on here, and I hope and I'm sure they're excited about it. So anyway,
Rich blocked my number. I'm kidding. Anyway, all right, Tanner,
Rich is a funny guy. Oh my god,
these people at St. Croix are awesome people. I'm just joking there. I finally, you know, they take care of us and take care of Joe and Chaz, and it's amazing. And you can't buy it. I mean, honestly. You know, I'm the cheapest guy in the game, but like, if you want a rod that's going to last a long time, that's a hell of an option. It really is. So,
I do say it. You last a lifetime if you take care of them. That's my argument for anybody who ever asks.
I'm too rough to have anything nice, Jazz.
I know, I've broken a bunch of gazillion of them, and they fix them for you.
Absolutely.
They do a really nice job fixing them.
All right. The next one up is Tanner. Tanner says, hey, guys, I love the podcast. Tanner, we love you for loving the podcast. It's a love fest, okay? This is a love fest here. He says, I'm going to try to get right to my question, but I want to give a little background. He said, I've been muskie fishing for 3 years now, and I've never caught a muskie. He said, I know, 3 years and no muskie, come on. I'm not shocked. It's cool, man. I appreciate you being honest about that.
Happens. I like the honesty.
He said, a lot of this comes from I've not been really close to a fishery. He said, I was 2 hours away and didn't get to fish that much. And he said, I live in Iowa. He said, I recently took a job that allowed me to live closer to the Spirit Lake chain in Iowa. And he said,
I read that in my mind.
By the way, he sent us an invite, Chaz, if you want to go. That's a whole other conversation. But we'll talk about that off air. But anyway, he says, I plan on absolutely grinding to catch these fish. He says, my main question is, how can I make the most out of my grind, and what should I not do? So he's not caught a muskie. What should he not do? I'm going to fire away.
Fire away.
The thing that popped in my head immediately is don't throw too big of a baits or don't troll too big of a baits. That's it. Like, don't go out there and go like, I'm going to throw double 10s and I'm going to troll 14-inch jigs.
Right away, dude. You and I have talked about this a gazillion times, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Hire a guide.
Are there guides?
Absolutely. I mean, if there's a muskie fishery, bound to be a fishing guide. And I don't mean to, like, you know, say, hey, you know, don't do it on your own. But, like, as fellow guides here, and I know I speak for both of us, the beauty, and I hire guides when I go to Wyoming and I go, you know, trout fishing sometimes, or when I go deep sea fishing, I hire a guide. Like, when I go outside of my area of professional expertise, I hire somebody who's an expert. I love, you know, expediting the learning curve. And I think that if you're in the game to learn and you want to catch muskies, hire somebody that knows what they're doing. If you can't find a guide, go on the chat forums. PM somebody who fishes your water and say, hey, I'm new. I want to learn a little bit. Would you mind taking me out and show me around? Like, you would be surprised, because I see it on muskiefirst.com. I'm not trying to plug them or anything, but you know, there's people out there that are always asking for partners in the boat. Pair up with somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Expedite the learning curve. Get out there.
I'm looking I did a quick Google search. There's not a lot in his area.
Yeah, I'm sure there's not a lot, but there's got to be somebody in that area. You know, here's the deal.
In his defense, I've been that dude where there's nobody to turn to and had to figure it out on myself.
So, if we're talking
Iowa,
there's nobody to go out with,
like there's one dude or there's nothing. I've been that guy where I'm at. I had to figure this out. So, Tanner, if you can find a guide that you're like, this guy's legit, he seems like a dope dude, and he's going to treat me right, go with him. But in such a remote place like Iowa, to find somebody, it's like finding me in Tennessee. Like, there's not people doing it. So if you can't find a legit guide, my rules of thumb is this. In Iowa, seek out the warmest water and don't throw too big. That, I mean, it's like, as far as like what I would not do, don't throw big, big, big stuff. Really stick there into the middle, you know, whether it be a 5-inch shallow rate or whether it be a double 8-buck tail. Is what would be cool is if me and you get in the truck and go to Iowa, bro. That's what would be cool.
But I was going to say, like, even if, you know, just to substitute for the time being, mm-hmm. if you and I were able to do, boy, as a technology guy, I'm trying to wrap my mind around this at the current Pepsi moment I'm in.
Yeah, Pepsi moment.
You know, this is a moment sponsored by Pepsi. I'm trying to, like, think about how you and I could do, like, a live, like a webinar for Muskie 360 where we take a lake from a, not subscriber, but a community member of 360 and say, okay, you know, this is the lake that our yeah, and break it down in a basic way.
Let's do
it.
Did you see that? I did that video. Actually, I picked catfish right by Joe's area. Catfish Lake.
Yeah,
and I just
arbitrarily
like said, I've never fished that. And I just went, here's good structure. Here's good this. Here's good that. Tanner, get in touch with us. Send me an email and we'll break down one of the lakes on that chain for you. And what we can do, Chaz, is me can cut it in. Right, and I'll do it in that style, and me and you can just both look at the map and pick spots, man.
Absolutely, that'd
be
a lot of
fun. That'd be fun because, like I said, I mean, if you can find a guy that's legit, that's not a D-bag, that'll take you, go out with him. If you got to figure it out on your own and nobody will take you, me and Chaz got your back. We're one big family here at the app, so we will cut a video and we'll break down one of these lakes in Iowa. Chaz, I'm talking out loud here,
Steven.
Let's do it.
I really need a word of wisdom right now.
Listen, Tanner, I'm going to tell you right now. If you want to know what you shouldn't do, here it comes. It's a word of wisdom from the Muskie Guru.
I really need a word of wisdom.
Absolutely.
The Guru says, the further you hold it out, the bigger it looks.
Oh, fuck, Tanner. If that didn't catch you a muskie, my friend, I don't know what will. What do you think, Chaz? Does it get any better than that?
Nope.
It does. All right. Next up is Derek. When does the trolling bite start and end in Nebraska? Approximate best time to start and finish. Current water temp is 60 degrees. Deep lake, 65 feet. Thanks. All right, Derek, I'm going to roll with this real quick because Nebraska is probably similar to what I'm dealing with these water temps. Trolling bite, it's trolling is a year-round affair, period. It's not just a winter affair. 60 degree water, Nebraska, get shallow, period. Get shallow. So if you want to troll the shallows, troll them. If you want to cast the shallows, cast them. Get into the shallow water. If the water temp is 60, find the hottest. If you can find 62 degrees, fish the 62 degrees. Get on the warmer water, just like you would up north, and you know, approximately, like, if I'm thinking like the best time, there's not a best time. What I would do is break it up. You know, if you're going to fish from sunup to sundown, make sure one of those majors or minors you're trolling that, excuse me, but, you know, just spend that time. As far as you're talking about the lake depth being 65 feet, Chaz, I don't target muskies deeper than 20. What do you think? Do you target any deeper than that, really, on any consistent basis?
No, not on a consistent basis. Yeah. Or I might be over deeper water than that, but not targeting them deeper than 20.
Right.
But no, I really like the way I was almost to say amen to you, because I think the way that you are talking about this is just right on, man. I don't know that I would change anything.
That's because I'm the junior muskie guru. I am a disciple.
Wait, are you the junior of mushroom? What are you, the junior
mushroom
guru
as well? I am definitely a junior mushroom guru. Anyway, cue the Grateful Dead. Anyway, that's it. Don't think about it. And Derek, it's just a conceptual thing. There's not a trolling season. Blend it into your plan. It's 60 degrees, getting those shallows. I don't think you're going to have to worry about too deep a fish in Nebraska. I could be wrong, but that's another place me and the guru and the dude have not been. Dude, as Muskie 360 continues to grow, you know what we have to do.
What?
We got to go on some of these road trips, man. We have to.
I was just thinking, like, are we going on tour?
We, like, literally, me and the dude. Here's the deal. Oh, I'm going to throw this out here. I'm going to just make something up here because we can't do it with COVID-19. If you want to fish with me and the dude, I'm just going to throw it out. If you want to fish with me and the dude, send me an email. We'll start talking to users about it, and we will do the Muskie 360 road tour and go to some of these weird places. What do you think?
That'd be wild,
What
man.
If we took a week and we just get in the car, right? No boat. We show up at your boat ramp and we go fishing with you. If you guys would be in, I'm just spitballing. I haven't thought this out. But if me and you just
no,
jump,
but like, I think this would be a big.
That would be ripping. Number one, it'd be fun for us. Number two, it'd be wicked because you could just figure the stuff out. So if you guys think that's a lame idea, don't send an email. If you want to fish with me and the dude,
I don't
on
think
like,
it's a lame
if
idea.
You want to fish with us on your home waters, like, and help, like, heck, we might figure it out. We might not, but that would be fun, dude. Like, to just go hang out with somebody. Because, like, what we, let's get in the Jeep. I'll pay the gas. Literally, Chaz Martin is going to starve to death because I won't allow him to eat in my Jeep. No
yeah,
way.
Yeah, dude, but don't you allow French onion soup?
Dude, my car is literally like, bro, two words. Laser.
It is French onion soup on wheels.
Bro, laser tech. That's what I'm saying. Get you some floor mats that are dope. I don't care what you eat because my Jeep has leather, bitch. So I can wipe
well,
anything off.
Well, so does mine, but French onion soup goes into leather.
Oh, my goodness. This guy needs soup. What are we going to do? Me and the dude are going to travel to every Panera Bread across the country and eat French onion soup in the car.
Hey, they give, like, out free, you know, croissants and bagels and all kinds of stuff at night. Yeah, Panera.
Do they really?
Panera's really cool. Yeah. And if you ask them, it's like, hey, you guys got any leftover stuff? They're like, yep, got a whole bag. Do you want it?
Do you look
like,
homeless yeah. or something? Are you going in there?
No, dude, but on road trips, we're talking road trips, man. Bro. My buddies and I have been doing this for years. Like, just Paneras are just known to us for offering, like, just giant bags of goods.
And
they'll be like, yeah, we're not going to use this. Just, yeah, take it. You want some cream cheese? We're like, yeah.
Shout out to,
like, this has happened for years.
Bro, you know what I call that place, right? I call that Pantera Bread. Pantera Bread. Bro, so anyway, off the thing, I've committed you and me to doing a video about patterning somebody's lake and sending requests for us to go to fish with people. So, you know, we're going to try our best for it. If you guys like, that would be dope. I'm literally saying out loud, we'll talk about it on more podcasts. If you want to fish with me and the dude, let us know. We'll start trying to spitball on what might work here. We'll figure out something because it would just be a lot of fun for everybody.
Yeah.
Anyway, Max E says, I'm just starting to get into muskie fishing and was wondering what are five tactics that you would advise for a new muskie angler. What's the five best hints you've got for a new muskie angler, dude?
All right, I'll go two, you go three.
All right.
Five best tactics for beginner muskie angler.
Yeah. You said you got two, I got three. Bring it on.
Okay. I would say first thing that I would think of is moon phases. And yeah. I know this sounds a little probably out of your, you know, out of the realm it's a little tough to visualize, but moon phases are real. Muskie 360 app has got a fantastic moon phase tool on it. Pay attention to those times, fish during those times, fish your best spots during those times. That's one of my best
number
tactics,
one.
That I would do. Number one. Okay. Number two tactic would be, what am I going to say for my number two tactic? I'm going to say my number two tactic, strategy-wise for muskie fishing, has probably consistently been downsizing. Throwing yep. smaller lures to generate activity from muskies and getting out of this trend of giant baits for giant fish and all this baloney. You know, big baits work in certain instances, but just generally speaking, don't get over your head in lure size. Throw small, catch muskies, and have fun. So there's my two strategies.
All right, I got
to
come up with three. Oh, my goodness.
I know, actually.
I got him, Broheem. I got you, homie. I've had so much Pepsi, I can just make stuff up. Number one, know what your lures are able to do. Okay, everybody, you've heard me on the podcast before, I call people bait owners. There's musky fishermen and there are lure owners. They're bait owners. They buy baits and they buy baits and they don't know what they'll do. Learn what your lures are capable of doing, right? When you learn what your lures are able to do, you know how to apply them to certain situations. So learn the capabilities of your lures. Spend some time on them. Focus. Don't focus on catching a fish. Focus on what will this shallow raider do? What will this crane bait do? What will this glide raider do? What will this bulldog do? And get a feel for what these things are doing, right? Well, how do they look when I just let it fall in the water? How do they look when I just let it rise? What does it look like when I twitch it? What does it look like when I jerk it? When I do it fast? When I do it slow? Get a feel for those lures and you'll learn how to apply those to different situations you encounter, right? The next one I would say is understand speed and depth control. And so understanding speed and depth control means what does this lure do at this speed, this reeling speed, this reeling tempo? What depth is it approximately running at, right? Which it goes back to knowing your lures, but also having a masterful control over speed and a masterful control over depth. The biggest thing I run into with clients on the boat, I'll say fish slow. Right? The dudes today, like, I gave them two cracks over this pass where that 50-incher was, bro. Two cracks.
You gave them two?
I went around
that. Oh, my gosh.
And do you know what they did? They blew it over that thing's head because I said all day long, slow down, slow down, slow down, slow down, slow down. Right? Of course, they look at me and say, and they go, hey, man, these reels aren't full. Do these need more line? And I went, it's freaking not even like warm water, slow down. But that's the biggest thing is having control. And you go, am I actually reeling slow or am I only reeling slow when I'm cognitively thinking about it? Have control over your speed. Be able to tell yourself, I have to be in control of how quickly I'm reeling. And I have to, and the speed dictated of what you're reeling at dictates your depth control, period. So if I need to get a lure to depth, so if I need to get a depth raider down deep, that means I got to reel fast and then I need to slow down and keep it at depth. So that's the biggest thing that I think is a big mistake. The other thing is this, the third phase or the fifth answer to your question being this, learn how to troll. Because at the app, we're going to do a whole podcast on trolling like me and Chaz already committed to. Chaz, we have committed to so many things on this podcast.
But this is an important one, though.
Yeah.
It was our first podcast ever on the app, and now, you know, we got to revisit it because a lot of people want to dive in on this.
Absolutely. But that's the thing is, like, trolling – The number one question we get at the app are trolling related questions because a lot of people either don't understand conceptually how to troll or they don't understand that sometimes you have to troll as long as you have to cast. And the biggest question is when to troll. When should I be trolling? When should I be casting? Right? Obviously, Joe's got amazing stuff on the app. You've got great stuff on the app. There's so much stuff on the app talking about trolling. We'll do a masterclass trolling podcast next week.
Ooh, that's a cool idea.
And I'm spitballing live here, Chaz. We need to start from neophyte all the way into like advanced stuff. Let's just spend an hour and a half on it. But anyway, here's the deal is Max, start trolling as soon as you can. The longer you do it, the more comfortable you are. I remember when I first got serious about trolling, it was a pain in my butt to be able to run two lines at one time without them getting messed up, right? It was a pain in my butt to get them to. Now I can run three aside with two sets of planer boards out there and do donuts on the lake, right? That's because I'm comfortable with it and I know what my tackle is capable of. I know when it's going to go bad and I know when things are going to go right. So if I was like brand new, you're never musky fished before, you're new to the sport, start trolling now. The more time you spend doing that, the more comfortable you get. Joe Bucher, the man, the myth, the legend, the Rod Father himself.
The Rod Father.
That's pretty funny. Anyway, I mean, like, dude, he said it to you. It's like, there's guys that can cast and there's guys that control, but the guys that are deadly are the ones that can do both.
Yep, that's very true.
And that's the thing. So if I was a new musk angler, I'd never done this before, start trolling now, mix your days up, get comfortable with it, learn the basics, start with one rod, then go to two rods, then go to, if you can troll 50 rods, learn how to troll 50 rods, but start with whatever your limits are in the state. That would be my, those are the five tips, man. I think we've covered that. We've beat it into submission, and yes, we are finally to the last question from Jaden.
Last question. Jaden right, says, baby, let's hit it.
All right. What is the difference between a cradle and a big net when landing a fish? Are there advantages towards using a cradle? Are there advantages towards using a net?
This is a classic. I want to jump on this.
Lay it on me, baby.
I've had arguments with people about this. In my younger days, I don't think I'm as argumentative as I used to be. maybe I don't
that's
know.
That's the fun. But you still are a little bit, because that's what makes the podcast fun.
Well, so. I've had arguments with people, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, you're not using a cradle. You don't care about the fish." And I'm like, "Do you know how long you have to fight a muskie to get it in a cradle?
Forever.
I mean,
cradles are freaking stupid."
I mean, what the hell are you doing with a cradle out there?
Trash.
I mean, what are you doing with a cradle? And why do you have a cradle? What are you doing with it? Like, I don't understand. Like, the new musky nets, anything relatively, I mean, God, made in the last 15 years is made with technology that protects fins. It doesn't split fins. It, like, has a is it like a deep bag that allows the fish to be in the water while it's during the unhooking process. Tell me one advantage of using a cradle.
It makes you feel more it makes you feel sanctimonious above guys that use nets.
Well, yeah, like you're like above thou, and like you're like helping, and you're doing something better for the fishery.
Essentially,
like, what the hell?
It makes you Woodsy the owl. You're like super conservationist. If you've never used a cradle, I'll debate anybody on the podcast for as long as you want about whether a cradle or a net is better. Bring it on. Me and Chaz will come at you.
Bring it on, dude.
Cradles are dumb.
I see no point. I see absolutely no point in the cradle. First of all, you can get yourself injured with a cradle because you're putting your hand next to the lure, next to the fish's face. Dumb idea.
Dumb.
What else do we need to say? Like, that's like, and I'm forgetting my
Jaden.
Name.
Jaden. No, and it's a valid. We're not knocking Jaden. It's
question.
If you're new to the sport, you hear about both of them, and it's not like about Jaden. I mean, the thing is, this you will.
That's what I wanted to make clear on.
Yeah,
my
you
answer.
Can.
Like,
you
I didn't
can
want to
easily.
Be like, oh, we're knocking this guy.
No,
Jaden, absolutely not.
No,
I just
can
just got me fired up because I've had these conversations with people, and they're like these like high end like oh man, they're touting how environmentally friendly they are.
That's what
I'm like. Get out of here, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm at, man. So it's ridiculous. So, don't get, you can read every which way, but yeah, cradle is a different thing, and you really got to fight these things out. Chaz, we have been like, we've gone above and beyond. I give us 5 stars for answering that many questions and staying on task as best we could to get through them. Guys, we love that you guys send your questions in. Chaz, thank you so much. We've both super long days. Super long day, but here we are, and we've been up. I know respectively, we've probably both been up for about 18 hours straight, and here we are. We're going to do this. This ain't stopping. It's every week, baby, and we're here to help you out. So, Chaz, before I let you go, and before we wrap up another glorious 5-star Muskie 360 podcast.
Dude, it's been awesome, man.
I've made notes of everything we've committed to do under the influence of Pepsi here. Number
Wait,
one,
so you and I are both using cradles for the rest of the year?
We
what
are
the hell, man?
Literally from now on out, we're just jumping in and just swimming with the fish. We are such catch and release activists. We're fishing hookless. Anyway, so
wait, that was so, the old joke. It's like things just get to that point where, like, you just set the hook, cut the line.
Yeah, yeah, just cut the hook. Let him go, boys. Anyway, so Chaz Martin and I have committed live on air to doing a trolling video where we break down a lake in Iowa, number one. Number two, next week we have promised to do a full episode on trolling masterclass with a intro that is an entire movie review of the movie Blood Hook.
I can't wait to watch that tonight.
And we have also committed to talking to users at about a Muskie 360 road trip. I think that's awesome. If you guys, like, honest to goodness,
this would be insane.
And literally, we've never talked about this. I'm sure if you guys want to do it, Chaz, and before I let you go here, literally, I mean, I'm sure we could run it on the app. We could run stuff on Muskie Mastery. Send us some emails. If you guys are interested in fishing with me and Chaz, once this lockdown is over, let us know, because we'd love to just go do something stupid, I'm sure. So
It would be a lot of fun, man. We have a great time. Oh, my gosh.
Get on YouTube. Watch the movie Blood Hook so you can be a part of the Blood Hook movie review next week. Chaz, we've been doing this forever. I'm about to eat my sneaker, and I need another Pepsi. So let's shut up and wrap up another podcast. What do you think, buddy?
Amen, dude. All right. Great time, Steven.
As always, my friend. Later.
Later.